It's Lynn. Sorry.
Hi, Lynn. How you doing?
Don?
This is Don. Yeah, I'm moderating a conversation with my calls myself so far.
Oh, really?
Okay. You know, the 6th of July.
So, oh, yeah. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Haven't talked to you in a while.
Indeed. So what's new?
Well, the newest thing is that I got an artist in residency at University of Colorado.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, with the LTER, someone who's worked for the LTER, Long-Term Environmental Research Program.
Mm-hmm.
And this person at NSF actually put us together. And I went and saw her when I was out on this raft trip. And then she called, you know, for about, you know, what we want to do, and he said that he has this end of the year money to give away, and asked her to apply.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing these workshops. There's a whole series of these books, the Long-Term Environmental Research Kids books.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to integrate climate more into the teaching guides that go with them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, everybody else who's at University of Colorado, you know, like Mark and her name's Susan Buell. You know her?
Yeah, through these discussions, a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does a lot of workshops on climate change for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was out there, I showed the films and spoke at their workshop a little bit. So I imagine there'd be a lot of opportunities for that kind of thing, because they're just really so active in
mm-hmm.
reaching out to the teacher community.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a place to be.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff going on at UCAR,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yeah. So what was this conversation going to be about?
It was to be free-ranging, so I was actually about to give up the ghost since nobody had called in the first 9 minutes, but you made it under the gun. I was going to wait until 1:10, and here you are.
Yeah, and I was planning to do it, and then I just started sitting here, and I was watching the hummingbirds chase each other around, and just watching the nuthatch, and just thinking, I could just sit here all day doing nothing, just sitting out on my porch, and watching the critters.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the phone call.
Uh-huh. How hot is it where you are?
Oh, it's nice. It's probably about 85.
Mm, we're hotter. I think we're over 90, which is the first time that Buffalo's been above 90 since September of 2007. So.
Are you in Ithaca or Buffalo?
I'm in Buffalo.
What are you doing in Buffalo?
I live in Buffalo. I telecommute to Ithaca.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'll be able to show folks around at NAAAE.
Where's that going to be? In Buffalo?
It's in Buffalo, yeah.
Are you coming?
End of September? Beginning of October?
No, I wasn't. I don't know. It just sort of wasn't on my radar screen.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing there?
We're doing a bunch of things on the Climate Literacy Network and the different literacy initiatives. I'm on 4 sessions, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 of which have to do with the Climate Literacy Network and the other literacy initiatives, and the other is on our current project on developing. Using virtual field work as a gateway to actual field work and place-based learning and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there any opportunity to show the film?
That's a good question. Proposals are closed, but I would guess, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a way you could figure out a way to do that. Maybe talking to Karen Hulwig, who's the, you know, immediate past president, or Bora Simmons, who's heading up their, I forget exactly what it's called, their sort of standards literacy initiative.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised if there was a way you could figure out a way to make that happen.
Is there a way that they could be shown with any of the ones you're working on, or are they going to be kind of
probably not. We've got pretty limited time and a fairly well defined. We put in proposals back whenever they were due, which was, I don't know, March or April or something. They were earlier than that. Mm-hmm. Probably not space in our stuff, but I would say, send Karen an email and see if she's got ideas about how you might do it.
Do you have her email, like handy?
I do.
Send it. That would be great. Thanks. Yep. So, what are you working on?
We're busy with our NSF project. Gets really intense in the summer with teacher workshops, and that's pretty much the focus of my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Been to some interesting places, and we'll be to some more.
Workshops around the country?
Yeah. The idea is it's a national project to help teachers teach about local and regional Earth system science. Mm-hmm. So we go to someplace within the region and do a workshop that includes field work on whatever particularly interesting site we're having the field work at. And then they go home and create something that's local to their school about a site that's local to their school. And so we were down in Texas a few weeks ago at a brand new canyon that they got 35 inches of rain in 8 days in 2002, and it dug out a 40 or 50 foot deep canyon in the course of a few days.
Wow, really?
Uncovered some dinosaur footprints and a buried fault. They knew the fault was there, but it connected into the cave system a little bit, and a really very cool spot. And we also went into some commercial caves and another local dinosaur footprint site. Very neat.
Did anyone document this, the canyon as it was eroding, like, day by day?
There's some of that. I'm surprised I haven't found any video of it, because it was, mm-hmm. Just a few years ago. But there's actually just an article that came out in Nature Geoscience 2 weeks ago, or like a week after we got back. There was this sort of big report on how it helps understand earlier catastrophic flooding in other places and figuring out stuff on the moon, or on Mars, rather, not on the moon, but on Mars. So it's a well-studied site, but I haven't found any video of it, which is disappointing. They say at its peak flow, this little tiny creek had a volume of two-thirds of that of Niagara Falls. And the pictures are awesome.
Oh, boy. You should send it out to the CLN group.
Pardon me?
You should send it out to the CLN. That would put some pictures. That would be really neat to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a few steps to connect it to climate, but not too many, I guess. More torrential rains in recent times than there have been in the past. And
mm-hmm.
I'd say the likelihood of it was greater. I did just, by the way, send you Karen's email. So.
Oh, good. Thanks.
That in your email presently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of taking a break because, for 2 years, all I did was these movies, and I just got burnt out. And so now they're all done. Have you seen the website? Did you get the website? Did you get that I put out a blast?
I don't think I haven't looked at it really recently. I've looked at it in the past. Is there new stuff?
I don't know. Have you looked at all the movies? Did you see the Dreaming in Green movie?
I think I did.
Yeah.
I've definitely watched some of the movies anyway.
The Dreaming in Green, the one about the girls who saved their school $53,000?
Yeah, I did watch that. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the best one.
Yeah.
So, I've just been, you know, putting up how-tos and trying to get partners, but I don't know. It's really hard to work in the summer when you're self-employed.
Yeah.
So I just decided I'm going to go up to Maine this weekend.
Good for you.
But I really do need to figure out sort of a strategy of getting these movies out more. But,
do you know how many hits you're getting on the site?
I can look. I know that there was a graph. I put out this email blast, and you should have gotten it because it was supposed to go out to. But you know, maybe it didn't.
Yeah, I think I did. I've just gotten a lot of email.
Okay, I think a lot of people do, and I just really wonder how many people even open it. You know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be sending it out again, probably next week. And also, people were probably just gearing up for the going away for the weekend and not really paying attention. But anyway, yeah, I sent out this big email blast to 1,000 people, like a lot of educators, and trying to get educators to take a look at it. And then I was thinking maybe doing something like a contest for curriculum to go with the movies. And I don't know, what, like, if, you know, win $1,000 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you have any ideas?
Oh, not off the top of my head. If you could, a contest is an interesting idea to get schools competing on both sort of developing, developing and implementing an action plan, and developing some sort of media representation of it to encourage others to do the same. But I don't know how to best get the word out about doing something like that, and finding some sponsorship or something like that, so you've got maybe some prizes to go with it or something.
I have a partnership with Jane Goodall Institute. Maybe they would be willing to do something like that. Or National Geographic I'm talking to, too. But yeah, I think you're right. I definitely need some like bigger sponsor to do it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't know. I really don't have any more news. I'm just kind of slow. So, you must have a tremendous amount of work doing these workshops.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work, especially when we're doing the face-to-face stuff. It's, 14-hour days all week. And,
wow.
But it's, working with the best teachers, which is just a really fun group to work with, So, it's good.
What level teachers are they?
They're mostly lower high school and middle school, but we've got some fifth graders and the fifth grade teachers, and I think we've got some fourth grade and a few going up to seniors. And we've actually got at our Michigan workshop we'll have a geology professor who does a lot of teacher professional development, and somebody from the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago who also does teacher professional development. So we've got some, I guess we're doing some professional development for professional developers, which is also fun.
The Museum of Science and Industry, is that a regular science museum that has exhibits?
Yeah. Yeah, but like us, they do a lot of outreach. I don't know a whole lot about it other than I've looked at their website before and thought it was really cool, and I want to get there sometime.
Okay.
There's somebody else.
Hey, what do you know?
Hello?
It's Joel from Berkeley. Hello.
Hi, Joel.
Hey.
It's a small crowd today. This is Don Dugan-Haas, and Lynn Cherry is here, and that's it.
Oh, okay. I thought I am late, but
I am late.
Hello.
Hi. So we've just been chatting.
Listen.
Okay. What were we talking about? Oh, just I work for the Paleontological Research Institution and its Museum of the Earth in Ithaca, and we have an NSF grant for Earth System Science teacher professional development and curriculum materials development, and it's not climate specific, but that's what we were talking about. And we've got some workshops coming up, and I was talking about who our audience is, which is mostly middle school and high school teachers, but we've also got some professional development providers and a few elementary teachers, and it's a fun group to work with and a fun grant to work on, because go around the country to places that are interesting from an Earth System Science perspective and go out and play in the field with teachers about how to go out and play in the field with their students and stuff like that.
Are you covering climate at all?
Some. Not as much as I'd like. It's definitely not the focus. It's more geology focused, though we've got a grant to NASA to extend. Our current workshops are 2.5 days, and we do online stuff afterwards for the following year. But we have a grant application into NASA to extend the workshop to 4 days and continue the online stuff. And the rationale behind that is to bring more climate into the project.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that'll get funded.
Hmm. That would be great.
Yeah, and I'd also be working with the folks at climate.nasa.gov. And that would extend our reach, I think, by
mm-hmm.
getting us on somebody else's website.
Mhm. Yeah, well, that sounds terrific.
Yeah.
Well, if you know, if there's any opportunity to show the films, you're welcome to show the films.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can certainly, if I don't, our agenda is so very packed that I don't know that I would have that. In our current structure of things, we don't have time for it really, but I do have time for a plug. I can plug
okay.
it.
Do you have a resource list?
Yeah. It's a thing that I should be working on this week is figuring out how I'm going to reorganize the website so that you can find stuff. But our website is virtualfieldwork.org.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the website. There are actually two project websites, but that's the one that I work on.
Okay.
And then the other one is teacherfriendlyguide.org, but virtualfieldwork.org is where the resources are listed.
Because mm-hmm. It would also be nice to put the How We Know What We Know About Our Changing Climate, that book,
mm-hmm. yeah.
As a resource, too,
mm-hmm.
if you thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, I think that could go into the mix.
Okay.
So, Joel, what are you up to?
I'm working here on a project that's trying to find activities mostly developed for after-school or science museums for math and science. And it's like a multi-museum project where we're sort of cataloging them into... It's another NSDL project for informal
mm-hmm.
science. And
mm-hmm.
we've been focused on the things that the initial grantee partner institutions have as
mm-hmm.
our resources. We have not... Yeah, fully branched out into, like, climate, energy, et cetera. Like, some things have trickled in. We did.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up with some oil spill stuff, coincidentally.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, mostly because different... Some of the partners had things like how to clean up an oil spill or whatever, you know, things you could do, tabletop
mm-hmm.
model kind of stuff. So we
mm-hmm.
played off that a little bit. But we've talked to a couple of groups about trying to get their stuff, and so that's pending.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Communicating Climate Change, that C3 initiative from Aztec,
mm-hmm.
You know that, with Tony...
I know of it, yeah.
Yeah, what about that?
So, like, we've talked to them a little bit. That's actually out of Ithaca, from the museum there, the Science Center, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They were developing activities for teaching climate. So we have not specialized our collections too much yet. But the idea is that we're building this, like, NSDL-style platform for people to contribute resources. And our focus is really on hands-on activities, things that kids can do,
mm-hmm.
and not just not books and not movies. because that's sort of what science centers are known for. So anyway, that's my day job, and then I'm also like really interested in engineering education and energy education. I'm sort of a heretic in that I'm really not convinced that climate education is enough. It's not even really like it talks about the problem without the cause. Like climate is a symptom to me. And like understanding climate dynamics, while interesting to some people, is not very practical to most people. And like, so Mark sent out that thing where he's, you know, saying that all these kids are scared. Lynn, you'd probably know a lot about that.
Have you seen the movies that I made?
I watched a couple of your movies, the little ones. I watched Alex Lures,
Did you see the Dreaming in Green one about the four girls who saved their school $53,000?
No, I have not.
Take a look at that one, because that one, I mean, I know, yeah, it's a movie, but it's a really about a how-to. You know, so it's totally hands-on. And the whole idea of the movies is that they tell you, you know, there's some climate science in them, but it's mostly, okay, let's reduce our CO2. And I've applied for a, Don, you're on this grant, right? We've applied for an NSF grant for bringing this climate education and, well, CO2 reduction in specifically, so that the kids are doing things that reduce their CO2 emissions. As part of Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, and these existing after-school clubs, including the Lawrence Hall of Science.
Okay. Who's on that grant, do you know? From LHS?
It's Alan.
Oh, Alan, okay. Yeah. So the thing is, I've said this multiple times, but back in the 70s, like, it was all energy. And it was like, oh, the oil crisis, we have to fix the oil crisis. Since then, in the last decade, it's been all climate, and it's like we have to reduce our CO2. But when, like, anecdotally, I've asked kids, like, where does your electricity come from? Why are the lights on? And you know, kids are like, oh, there's a generator in the basement.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, so a fundamental lack of understanding of any kind of systems thinking.
We're trying to reduce CO2.
We have to reduce CO2, but like, I like to say that we've gotten everyone to say that the climate change is caused by man-made emissions, but we failed to give a good explanation of what causes those emissions.
That's right.
Well, there's this woman, Bertha Vasquez, a teacher in Florida, and she teaches it's middle school, and she teaches everything under the umbrella of energy. And she starts with energy in the atom and then in the molecule and in the cell. And so you really understand what, you know, energy is and where it comes from and where your energy comes from. It's this amazing curriculum. And she got the whole school to adopt this curriculum in their classes. So, like, the German teacher, even though she's teaching German, she's teaching about energy in German. And all the different classes, the literature, the reading, or you know, writing, that they write about energy. And that's, the whole school is doing this.
Does she have a website? Or what's her name?
Her name's Bertha Vasquez.
I'll look for her.
Yeah, and I just was talking to Intel.
Yep.
Because I'm trying to get them to back this, basically grow what she's done and have it go out to schools all over the country.
Okay. I'm interested in that. I think I'd be interested to know more about what the model is you want to spread. I mean, I've actually done a bunch of research into this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that, you know, I don't know. I'm also not convinced that teaching energy from an atomic point of view is really going to be very effective either. I mean, there's been this big initiative within museum world to teach nanotechnology, right? So, like, trying to get the public to understand that the atomic molecular scale.
Yeah, they're spending a lot of money on that.
Yeah, biggest formal grant ever, $20 million over 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
But I don't think it's been that. I mean, you know, the results of these kinds of things are always mixed. But empirically, I don't think it has been super successful. Perhaps none of them are, but in part, I think it's because if you talk to chemistry educators, and I've read a bunch of chemistry literature, one of the fundamental problems is helping to bridge the macroscopic world and the microscopic world, or the nanoscopic world. It's very difficult for a lot of people to really internalize that model, that everything is made of atoms and molecules, and to get a statistical picture of how things are happening. And so even though the physicists would say that, oh, that's the correct way to think about things, I think a lot of people end up saying, science isn't for me because I don't seem to understand the correct way to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to teach a social problem from a physics point of view might not be the best approach.
Well, it's just the beginning, you know. It's just that she mentions the atoms, the cells, the molecules in plants and humans and energy under the ground and fossil energy, then energy in your house, and we're, different types of energy. So it's certainly not focused predominantly on atoms. It's just that that's part of, the whole picture that she presents.
Does she talk about technical systems, the power grid, transportation system?
Yeah, where your energy comes from. Yeah, everything. And then that's why the kids said, well, gee, we are using all this energy, and where's our energy coming from? And realizing it's fossil fuel and it's coal and nuclear, and then they said, well, we should reduce our energy usage because this is why it puts CO2 into the atmosphere. No, this is amazing curriculum. She won the NEEF Award, the National Environmental Education Foundation Teacher of the Year Award.
What was her name again?
Bertha Vasquez.
Bertha? U-R-S-A?
No, Bertha. B-E-R-T-H-A. No, B-E-R.
V-E-R-S-A?
No. Bertha.
V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z? I just want to look at that. It's a hard name.
It's like a berth in a bunk. A berth in a ship. Bertha.
Okay. Like Big Bertha.
B-E-R-T-H-A.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. I heard Ursa Vasquez.
Yeah. And so what she's done is, I think, should be... replicate all over. It's just amazing curriculum she's done. And the fact that these kids, after studying with her, decided they wanted to take action and reduce CO2, but they understood, energy viscerally. They understood it from, every different way possibly you could understand it.
Sure. Okay, no, I'm all for that, and I think that this is definitely an all-hands-on-deck type problem, and it's great that she's doing that. Mm-hmm.
And take a look at Dreaming in Green, because then you see these girls and you hear them talk about it, and it's just really great. So what we've got to do is we've got to get that curriculum and somehow figure out how to package it with this movie and get it out there.
But here's the thing that I find interesting is, it's great that she's doing that. And there's this whole climate literacy network, and there's this whole national effort to try and do the climate stuff. And, this is one teacher who has an exemplary and energy education curriculum. But it sounds like, there's not a community of people like her.
But that's our job. Our job is to create a community.
I know.
To basically grow that. Like, I brought that to NSTA, the people at NSTA, the National Science Teachers Association.
NSTA had an entire energy curriculum in the 70s. They wrote it. The National Science Teachers Association it was called Project for an Energy Enriched Curriculum. Mm-hmm. It was K-12. It was 15 units in fusion.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing it to NSTA, it's like NSTA has forgotten that they did this one. I'm just saying.
Well, right now, we have different technologies, so we want to do these webinars. Get them out through the webinars.
I understand. I'm just saying. Like,
you're
I feel
just
like
being very negative.
Because I'll tell you why. Because clean. The energy awareness is definitely second fiddle to the climate literacy.
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't know what to say. I'm doing what I can.
Yeah, no, I like your stuff. Yeah. I watch your films. I like them. I think they're good. I like your book.
Yeah.
I'm negative.
So if you have any ideas of how to, I think I have to go talk to the NSF people about getting this movie and her curriculum out there.
I mean, we've written a couple of grants to try and do energy education that have been rejected. Now, granted, obviously, you know, there's multiple factors considered, but it's not considered to be an urgent problem by NSF. Climate, yeah, fairly urgent, but they have not yet addressed solutions. And when people say, oh, energy solutions, to me, that is a placeholder for a lot of work that has not been done yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe BP would fund it for us.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway, I got to run, but nice talking to you both.
Good talking to you.
Thanks for hosting this, Don.
Yeah.
Sure.
George.
Yeah, nice chatting with you both.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.